Awesome. Praise the Lord. Beautiful. I forgot to do this earlier, but we need to light this candle. We always light the candle when we hear of someone that accepts Christ as their Savior. And one of our girls that was in the Embrace Grace program, another one, accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. That program finished up this week. So praise the Lord. Amen. Give a hand to the Lord Jesus. Yeah. It's exciting. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 19, if you would. Luke chapter 19. Very familiar story in the Bible in Luke 19. Let's stand as we read God's word today. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said, Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. Lord, thank you so much for your word. And we pray today that you'll speak to us through your word. We want to open up our hearts to let you speak. Give us the message that you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, if you grew up in church at all, you're familiar with this story. Zacchaeus, we sang about it as in the kids' department, right? Do you remember it? Okay, just to jog your memory, sing along if you know the song. Here we go. Awesome. Give yourself a hand. You guys did good. You were so much better than the first service. I mean, it was so much better. Awesome. You didn't know the second verse, though, about how happy he was. We didn't sing that one growing up, but he is very happy. So hopefully you all feel younger now that we sing a kid's song. It's an amazing story about the grace of God, about salvation, saving a man who was a sinner and lost. To set up the story, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. We know that from the gospel. He's traveling with his group up to Jerusalem. He's going to go to Jerusalem and die on the cross for the sins of the world, for our sins, so that we could have salvation in the name of Jesus. To get to Jerusalem from where he's coming from, Galilee, he's going along the Jordan River, going to turn up through Jericho and go up the hill to Jerusalem. That's where they are. They're traveling up, and they come to the city called Jericho. Right before this passage, Jesus had just healed a blind man named Bartimaeus who was standing by the side of the road. The blind man was hollering out to Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped the whole crowd, reached down and talked to the guy and healed the guy, and he was healed instantly. He could see. And he became part of that crowd. So they're making their way through Jericho. Bartimaeus, the blind man who was healed, is with them, along a lot of the people. We also have to keep in mind at this point in the gospel, Jesus is a very popular person. the word of the miracles he's done has spread all over the country. Everywhere he goes, crowds and thousands of people come. He is just kind of, you could call him the celebrity of the day. A lot of them didn't believe in him, but they still wanted to see him because of all they'd heard about him. One of those people is a man named Zacchaeus in the scripture here that wanted to see Jesus. He represents for us a searching sinner. It says he is called chief tax collectors. Now, it's hard for us to understand how much the Jewish people hated tax collectors. When the Romans took over a country, they put heavy taxes on the people, and then they hired some of their people to collect the taxes. So the people were hired by the Roman government to collect taxes. They could cheat and collect more than they were supposed to, and that was okay. So if you owed 20%, they could charge 20% or whatever, they could charge 30%, whatever, and they would get that. They were government-approved crooks, protected by the government. And the Jewish people absolutely hated tax collectors. They were considered traitors. So this man, Zacchaeus, was the last person in the world they would think of that would be interested in seeing Jesus. He's also the last person in the world they would think of Jesus inviting himself to Zacchaeus' home. He is the hated guy in town. It's interesting when we sing the song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. It doesn't say he was a tax collector that everybody hated. But that's the true story. He enjoyed earthly wealth. Jericho is one of the three inland towns, along with Capernaum and Jerusalem, where they collected taxes. And Jericho was a main place because it's a trade route. With people going through Jericho up to Jerusalem and down, whether they're going north or south, a lot of people go through Jericho. So it was a very profitable place to be a tax collector. Jericho was a great place. Very low, it's 850 feet below sea level. Very warm climate in the winter. King Herod had a palace there in the wintertime to get down where it's warm. Great water supply, a lot of beautiful palm trees, beautiful place. At least it was. I don't think it's very beautiful anymore, but I guess it was beautiful. This guy, he was a chief tax collector, which means he had guys working for him. He was very, very wealthy. He had it made. According to worldly standards, he could buy anything he wanted. He could live anywhere he wanted to live, travel anywhere he wanted to travel, hire anybody he wanted to hire. No limits, right? He had it made. But there was something missing in Zacchaeus' life. Something was missing. And he knew that earthly wealth could not satisfy his soul. I think that he was completely satisfied. He wouldn't have went searching after Jesus on this day, but he did. Maybe, we don't know this for sure, maybe he was friends with a guy named Matthew, who was a tax collector, and who left everything to follow Jesus, left all of his wealth to follow Jesus. Maybe Matthew was a friend of him, and he heard about this story. I don't know. But this man is searching. Very similar to the story of the rich young ruler that Jesus talks about, where this rich young ruler came to Jesus asking, what must I do to be saved? This man comes to Jesus as well, looking for something that he's lacking. Jesus said, what good will it do for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Money can't do it for us. Money isn't the answer. Zacchaeus was also separated from God because of sin. He had the same problem all of us have. We've sinned. Sin separates us from God and eternal life. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And by my math, that means all of us. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all need the forgiveness that only Jesus can give us. Sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from the abundant life he wants to give us. Sin separates us from eternal life. Sin separates us from heaven someday. Sin is the great separator, and Zacchaeus had that problem. And we have that problem. But he's going to experience forgiveness on this day from the only one that can give it, and that's Jesus. Zacchaeus was seeking to know who Jesus was. He'd heard that Jesus was in town. He wanted to go see him. But it says not just see him, it says there in the scripture that he wanted to see who Jesus was. In other words, he's just not going to look for a celebrity and get a glimpse of him. He wants to figure out who he is. He wants to see who he is. Maybe he is like other people in that day that were wondering, is he the Messiah? Could Jesus be the Messiah? Could Jesus be the answer to my soul, what I'm really longing for? He's wondering. He wanted to know who Jesus was. But he had a problem going to see Jesus. He was short. That means he isn't very tall. And he can't see over the crowd to see Jesus. Jesus is probably in the middle of the crowd, people around him. He can't see him. He's not big enough to elbow his way through. So he sees a tree up ahead. He runs up ahead to the tree, climbs up the tree, and hangs onto a branch so that when Jesus comes by, he can see him from up the tree. Ingenious idea. Think about it for a moment, though. For a Jewish man in that day, this was very improper. You didn't run down the street, especially if you're a wealthy man. You don't run down the street with everybody watching you. You certainly don't climb trees. They just didn't do that. But here's this rich guy sprinting down the street with his little short legs, you know, going down the street, climbing the tree, waiting for Jesus to come by. You got to admire his desire to see Jesus. He didn't let his pride hold him back. He didn't let what people would think about him hold him back. They already hated him anyway, I guess. Maybe that doesn't help. But he didn't let his wealth hold him back. He's going to go see Jesus. And ran up the street ahead of Jesus and got in a sycamore tree. If you were to drive to go to Israel and go to Jericho today, you'll find this sycamore tree on one of the main streets of Israel. And guess what they call it? Zacchaeus tree. They claim it's the tree. Wink, wink. But anyway, there's a lot of those places in Israel where they claim this is the exact spot. But I really doubt this is the same tree that Zacchaeus climbed up. But it's good for tourism, and they say it is. So anyway, but it was a tree like this. This is a sycamore tree in the city of Jericho. And he climbed a tree like that and waited for Jesus. I'm hoping in his case there was some lower branches because that'd be hard for a short guy to get you need a boost to get up there. But that's where he's at. You get the picture. I'm not sure of this either. But I get the idea here that Zacchaeus wanted to be anonymous. He gets up in a tree and he's waiting for Jesus. I don't think he wants anybody to see him up there. It'd be embarrassing, right? He just wants to see Jesus. So he's hiding up in a tree, waiting for Jesus to come by, trying to figure out who Jesus was. What he didn't know as he was seeking after Jesus is that Jesus was seeking after him. You see, God is a seeking God. We have a seeking Savior, a Savior that seeks after us, a Savior that wants to have a relationship with us, and he seeks after us. And Jesus is going to be seeking after Zacchaeus. Jesus and his disciples in the crowd are moving through town. Word had spread that he was there, and it was just an amazing, boisterous, probably happy crowd moving through town. And the crowd reached a spot under that tree where Zacchaeus is, and Jesus stopped. Zacchaeus didn't expect that. The crowd didn't expect it. Why is he stopping? The whole group stopped because Jesus stopped, and Jesus saw him. Immediately, it says, he looked up and saw Zacchaeus. I don't believe that it is an accident that Jesus met Zacchaeus on this day. I think this is a divine appointment. I think God worked in Zacchaeus' heart, wanting to see Jesus and who he was, and he ran to the tree, and then Jesus shows up at this exact moment when Zacchaeus is up in the tree, and he stops and looks up. The person that other people all avoid, Jesus stops for. This hated man, Jesus stops the whole procession and looks up at the tree. And guess what happens when he does that? Everybody looks up in the tree. And everybody sees the tax collector up there, Zacchaeus, the hated man. And it reminds me, you know, Jesus looking up and seeing him, that he sees us. He sees you. He always sees you, and he will not pass you by. He knows where you are. He knows you. He sees you. You see, Jesus knew him. The next shocking thing that happened was Jesus called him by name. Zacchaeus. How did he know his name? Well, he's Jesus. He knows things that people don't know. He knew everything about Zacchaeus. He knew Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He knew Zacchaeus was lonely, probably. He was rich. He knew Zacchaeus had sprinted down the street and climbed up this tree to wait for him. He knew everything about Zacchaeus. Everything. And I would think there was something about the look of Jesus. And when that it just gave Zacchaeus the awareness that Jesus knows me. He knows me. He looked up, called him by name. He knows me. Psalm 139 says, "Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know me." Jesus reached out to him. It wasn't Zacchaeus that shouted, not like the blind man, and said, "Hey, Jesus, I'm up here. Hey." He didn't say a word. Jesus stopped and looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." By the way, that's the only place recorded in the scripture where Jesus ever invited himself into a home. And it was in the home of Zacchaeus, which would be the last place that people would expect the visiting teacher Jesus to stay at. In fact, the Jewish people so hated the tax collectors, they would not go into their house. Wouldn't have anything to do with them. But Jesus says, "I'm going to your house. Going to your house." Jesus reached out to this hated tax collector because the fact is, Jesus loved him. Jesus loved him. Jesus was always hanging around people who other people shunned. He was hanging around tax collectors and sinners all the time. In fact, he got in trouble for it. But Jesus loved him as he loves everybody. It kind of reminds us, you know, you'll never meet anybody, no matter how mean they appear, or ornery, or strange, that God doesn't love. Maybe that's one of the reasons this story is in the Gospels, to let us know that God loves even tax collectors. Jesus loved this man. The man that everybody hated, Jesus loved. And Jesus welcomed him. The man that everybody put off, Jesus welcomed. He said, "Get down immediately. I'm going to your house to stay there." He welcomes us. You don't have to get your whole life straightened out to come to Jesus. He'll welcome you just as you are. Now, he doesn't leave us that way. He forgives us. He changes us. But he will welcome us. He welcomed this man. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it says this, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." This is literally happening for Zacchaeus. Can you picture Zacchaeus getting down from the tree, walking with Jesus down the street? Here's Jesus, here's Zacchaeus, you know, walking down the street. And it says, all the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." In the original language, those words mean they were disgusted that Jesus was doing this. This group that was so excited that Jesus did the miracle coming through town are now angry at him that he's going to the house of a sinner. The fickle crowd. The story seems similar to us to the story of the rich young ruler. Remember in that story, Jesus asked the rich young ruler to give up everything and follow him, and he didn't. But we see in this story of Zacchaeus, he's more responsive than the rich young ruler. He's an example of a responsive man. He responded quickly. Jesus told him, "Get down immediately. I got to go to your house today." I wonder, why did Jesus say immediately? What's the rush? Get down immediately. And to me, it tells me that Jesus is saying, today is a day of salvation. Don't put it off. Don't wait. Don't stop. Don't think about it. Today, get down. Today is a day of salvation. And see, the problem is, when God is speaking to our heart and calling us to Him, and asking you to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you say no to Him, you reject Him, well, it becomes easier the next time to reject Him, and the next time to reject Him, and the next time to reject Him, to where you almost don't hear God speaking to you. It's called hardening the heart. And that's why it's really important that when Jesus says something, we do it immediately. No delay. And Zacchaeus responded quickly. He got down. It's like when Jesus called the disciples that were fishermen along the Sea of Galilee. He said, come follow me. I will make you fishers of men. And at once they left their nets and followed him. At once, no delay. He also responded with obedience. He did exactly what Jesus told him to do. Get down from the tree. I'm going to your house. And he did it. He got down, took Jesus to his house, hosted him in his house, probably a really nice house in Jericho, took care of Jesus and who the people were with him. You remember the story of the rich young ruler? He did not obey Jesus. But Zacchaeus obeyed Jesus. And he responded with joy. It says he welcomed him gladly. To see Jesus and to know Jesus brought joy. Unlike the rich young ruler, remember his story? Jesus asked him to give everything away he had to the poor and me, and he said no, and he went away very sad. This rich guy is going to give away pretty much all of his money, and he's walking away gladly, full of joy. There's joy that comes from Jesus Christ that cannot be found in wealth or anything else. I remember a man named Bob many years ago that accepted Christ. Bob was one of the most depressed, unhappy men. You just wouldn't want to hang around him at all. I mean, he just brought you down. He was so depressed. But he accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, and there was a radical transformation. People, it didn't even look like the same guy. People said, what happened to you? You're different. And it was all because of Jesus. This joy came in your life, and it comes from Jesus Christ. This man responded with repentance. Zacchaeus said to Jesus, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times. This is voluntary. Jesus never asked him to do this, but he's showing signs of repentance here. He's turning away from his dependence on wealth to follow Jesus and trust in Jesus. Now, giving half his money to the poor is, I don't know how much he had, but he had a lot. And then he's going to pay back people he cheated four times. The Old Testament law said if you cheat somebody, you need to pay them the amount plus 20%. So he's going overboard. And a lot of commentators think that in doing this, even giving half to his poor, to the poor, and doing all this restitution, he's giving it all away. He's doing what the rich young ruler was not willing to do. He's giving it all away. Getting rid of his wealth because he's depended on that before and now he's going to follow Jesus. True repentance. Jesus said, I've not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Repentance is a change where we turn from our sin and place our faith in Jesus Christ. This man was a changed man, Zacchaeus. This encounter with Jesus changed him. He experienced salvation. Jesus said, today, salvation has come to this house. Salvation has happened right here in the life of Zacchaeus. That's a proclamation. Everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved, the scripture says. We remember the rich young ruler, when he rejected Jesus, Jesus said it's hard for rich people to be saved. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Well, the people of Jericho would like to have taken Zacchaeus through the eye of a needle to punish him. But Jesus took him through the eye of the needle to give him eternal life. He did what was impossible for men, but it's possible with God. And this rich man was saved. He experienced salvation. A notorious sinner became a follower of Jesus Christ. Heard a story of a guy named Mitsuo Fuchida. He was part of the Japanese armed forces that attacked Pearl Harbor many years ago. In fact, he was a lead pilot in the strike of pilots that flew. At the end of the war, he was still believed that his cause was just. But he heard the story of a lady named Peggy Colville who had ministered to Japanese POWs even though the Japanese had killed her parents. And he wondered, why in the world would this woman come back and minister here when we killed her parents? He also was given a flyer written by a guy by the name of Jacob DeShaws, who was a member of the Doolittle Raid on Japan, who was captured and was in a POW. After Japan, he went back as a missionary to share Jesus with the people who had hurt him. Both those really impacted Mitsuo. So he found a Bible, read the Gospels, and accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. A notorious sinner became a follower of Jesus. Just like Zacchaeus, a notorious sinner and tax collector, became a follower of Jesus. He also became part of the family of God. Jesus said, "This man too is a son of Abraham." Now the people, because he was a tax collector, they hated him. They didn't consider him part of them. Tax collectors couldn't do things that normal Jewish people do. They were excluded from society, from courts, from all kinds of things. They were outcasts. But Jesus says, "This man is a son of Abraham." Now he's not meaning he's Jewish. Son of Abraham because of his faith in God. That's why he's a son of man. He became part of the family of God. That's what Jesus is saying today. John 1:12 says, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." You know, this guy, Zacchaeus, was the least likely person to be saved and become a family of God, yet he did. Maybe you have some people in your mind, family or people you know, that are considered least likely in your mind. I had an uncle growing up named Uncle Ray. We kind of lived probably a sheltered life growing up. We weren't around people who did things and said things that we didn't do, you know, but Uncle Ray was the exception. And Uncle Ray either had a cigarette in his mouth or when the cigarette was out, cuss words were coming out. So those were two things I remember Uncle Ray for. He would haul our cattle from our farm to the market whenever it was time for livestock auction to sell them. And us as kids, we were kind of excited when Uncle Ray would come over because we were just going to stick around and see what he would say, because we didn't use those words and we didn't hear those words except from Uncle Ray. And so we'd go and stand by the side to see, I wonder what he's going to say today. Because he'd always get mad and start cussing at the cows. So in my mind, I'm thinking through most of my life, you know, Uncle Ray's just one of those guys that, you know, he's never going to be a follower of Jesus. He's never going to make it to heaven. You know, I felt sorry for him, but a miracle happened, and my father actually led my Uncle Ray to faith in Jesus Christ. And he was a changed man. Completely changed guy after that. Another kind of notorious sinner that got saved. And in my mind, I was ready to write him off. So I guess it's an encouragement to us, don't write anybody off. Someone that you think, oh, that person, Jesus could never reach them. Yes, he can. Keep praying for them. Keep reaching out to them. No one is beyond the grace of God. Don't give up. Zacchaeus gave evidence of a changed life. The fact that he was giving his money away shows a changed life. Now, giving his money away didn't save him, but it showed evidence that he was saved. It was the fruit of repentance. It showed that something was really changed in this man. This rich tax collector gave his money away so that he could be truly rich in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus closes this little story by saying this, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost." Jesus is a seeking Savior. And just like he came to Zacchaeus, he comes to each one of us, and he looks at us, he knows us, he loves us, he died for us, he died for your sins on the cross, and he gives us an opportunity to believe in him. Now, he doesn't force us. He didn't force Zacchaeus to come down from that tree. He doesn't force us to believe in him. But he gives us an opportunity. And if we are like Zacchaeus, we'll repent of our sin, turn away from our sin, and place our faith in Jesus Christ and follow him. That's what happened to Zacchaeus. That can happen to anybody. And if you're here today or listening online and you're not a follower of Jesus, I would encourage you to do what Zacchaeus did and do it immediately. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Today is the day of salvation. For us that know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we need to always be aware that you'll never meet anybody that Jesus isn't seeking after, that Jesus doesn't love. And we sometimes get to be a part of that wonderful process of people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And it is a wonderful process. So keep your eyes open, keep praying, looking for opportunities, and be thankful for all that God has done for us through Jesus Christ. For we are like Zacchaeus, people who are lost and are saved by Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up and lead us in a word of song. And if there's anything that you need to pray about today, you can come and pray at this altar. This is a great place to pray. Maybe you need to come because you're like Zacchaeus. You're still up in the tree. You haven't made a decision yet to come to Jesus and be forgiven of your sins. But you could do that today. Or maybe you have someone in your heart that you're praying for that doesn't know Jesus and you want to come pray for them. You're praying for them up in the tree that they will trust in Jesus. Or maybe there's something else on your heart today. Whatever it is, you can come and pray. Let's stand together, worship our Lord, and gather for a prayer time.
Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him and say,
Father, we come to you in prayer today, so thankful for all that you've done for us. We're thankful that we can even pray, that you, the Lord God Almighty, invite us into your presence and we can call on your name. We're thankful, Father, that you're such a great God of love, that you love us so much. You want to give us eternal life, and you've given us eternal life through Jesus Christ, your Son. And we're thankful for that today, Lord. Just as you sought out Zacchaeus on that day, you seek us out. And Father, I want to pray, if there's anybody in our congregation today or anybody listening online that does not know Jesus as their Savior, that today will be the day that they would make that decision. They'll leave their sin behind and place their faith in Jesus Christ and start a new life as a follower of Jesus Christ, a changed life, serving you and following you. Lord, you will hear that prayer if it's prayed today, and you will answer it. Lord, thank you that you're a God that hears and answers prayer. You do so much for us, Lord, and we are so thankful. We do pray, Lord, that you'll be with the needs that are represented in our congregation today, Lord. There are people who need your help. There are families that are grieving, and they need your comfort and compassion as there's been loss in their lives. There are people that are sick and need your healing touch, Lord Jesus. Be with them and help them. There are people who are struggling and just so many things are happening in life that just seem overwhelming to them, Lord, and they need your help today. We're so thankful, Lord, that you will not pass us by, but you are there with us and you will help us. So whatever it is, Lord, in our lives, we come to you and surrender it to you, and we're thankful, Lord, that you will help us in these situations. We trust in you. You are such an amazing God, and we are thankful for all the answers to prayer that you've already given. We're thankful for what you're doing right now in the lives of your people. We're thankful for what you will do in the future, Lord, as we trust in you and follow you. And I also want to pray today, Lord, for people in our families or people we know that are lost. They are not living the life that you want them to live, and that they would see the light and turn to you and come to faith in Jesus Christ. We pray for them. You know all their names. We bring them before you, Lord. We know you love them. We know you're reaching out to them. If they will just respond, you'll forgive them and bless them. And help us, Lord, to open our eyes to see those around us that we can reach out to and share the love of Jesus with. It's a great privilege and responsibility. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless all of our mothers today on this Mother's Day, Lord. It can be difficult being a mother sometimes, all the challenges, but bless them and help them. We're so thankful for them. And we just want to leave everything in your care today, Lord. Thankful for all your blessings, trusting in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for being here today.